going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our focus today has been and will continue to be on the NFL draft. It is draft night, round one, and then we get to Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be fun and interesting. But I will tell you, Mike and I have been talking amongst ourselves. Garrett's here producing with us. Gordon is our on-site engineer about the news, Mike, and you're going to talk more about this in Guy Talk, but the news that has come down about Shannon Sharpe taking some time off?
Yeah, a lot of folks yesterday, I was reading some articles out there, and a lot of media critics were saying it was time for, actually ESPN probably missed the boat on maybe getting Shannon out of the studio a little bit sooner, but we'll talk about that because that's continued to be a very salacious story with all sorts of angles coming out, and he said, she said, and as a good friend, Commissioner Gordon, said, was this a transactional relationship? And if so, will that eventually come to light? But either way, oh man, NDA, my friend, a non-disclosure agreement is your best friend.
He said he tried and then changed his mind. Let's move on. We'll talk about that in Guy Talk. Mike, let's talk about the dogs, man. Let's get to the dogs. How many dogs will be drafted this year? Listen, continuously over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, dogs have, the number has gone up, right? And then they had that remarkable year where they had like 15 or 18 guys taken. And everybody, they broke the record for the most, you know, from one school. They're going to have a bunch of guys in this year's draft. We already know there'll be at least three, we think, including Malachi Starks, along with the other guys we've talked about, and Jalen and Michael, should be first-round draft picks. But there will be others throughout the course of this draft. Has Garrett swayed you any with the Michael argument about everything he's talked to us about today?
Well, like last year, I gave you three finalists for the pick. Of course, you know, it never goes any which way I want. But I started with Mike Green from Marshall, and then I went to Donovan Ezraku from Boston College, and then I finished up with, I said, final answer, Michael Williams. That's my pick to click at 15 and saying let's not miss on a Georgia Bulldog, because even though they might not flash with the stats, and we spent so much time talking about this with all our experts and analysts, Trayvon Walker's a perfect example. And you and I were just talking about this to start the program. Kirby and all his defensive coaches, you know, whether it's guys who moved on to other jobs like Dan Lanning or the current regime, those guys come out ready, just like when Kirby was at Alabama. You don't have to, like, you know, just point them in the right direction. And it's how they were used in a specific scheme for Georgia, which maybe you don't get the crazy off-the-chart numbers, and that's where you do see in other players, like Green's got 17 sacks. You know, Ezraku, I've talked about, he's got 16 sacks. That's something you can quantify. Pierce from Tennessee's got 7.5, but at Georgia, you're saying, where's the beef? Well, if you're a Georgia fan, you saw them go up against the best lineman in the country against Texas and whip them. You know, I mean, this Georgia team, to me, these players are ready to go. Michael Williams, the only concern is the stuff we've heard, and we're hearing varying, and to be honest, Carl, the disputes now about just how serious the ankle was, what happened in his private workout. Some teams thought they were not impressed by his private workout after the pro day.
Yeah, look.
Does that bother you? Does that concern you at 15 to do this?
So this is kind of the argument that we've talked about with Abdul Carter, who also has not worked out. But the tape and this is what I hear, is that kid played in every game, and if you go watch the tape sales you on Abdul Carter, that he's ready, and they're not concerned about whatever has held him out with these pro workouts or these private workouts. With Michael, Mike, I feel like the biggest thing, and you said this earlier today, we really hadn't even talked about it in our discussion, but the fact that he was hurt, he knew he was probably going to go pro and probably still be a high draft pick, he could have easily shut it down.
Right.
But even during the season when he came back, Kirby said as much, and I think it's something that professional scouts look at, Mike, and teams look at, and general managers go, that's the kind of guy I want. I don't want a guy who could easily shut it down on any given Sunday versus, hey, I'm hurt, and I know my teammates need me, and I'm not 100%, but I'm going to come back out here and give it a shot. That, to me, goes a long way. I'm not telling you it moves the draft needle one way or the other,
right.
But it's one of the intangibles that people look at in these organizations that they go, is he a guy that's going to give us everything, or is he a guy that's just going to show up every now and then?
Right.
He shows up.
That's why I brought it up, man. I just think this dude is tough, and that's the toughness you want. Think about a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who kind of like Mike Vick. He was basically everyone's hot prospect after that Outback Bowl. Remember the hit against Michigan? He had another year to play at South Carolina.
Came out.
He quit.
Yep, came out.
He just quit. He basically just completely mailed it in that final year at South Carolina. Then subsequently, Steve Spurrier quit. But, I mean, there's guys out there that know where their place is. And Michael Williams, to your point, knowing that there's a bigger goal at the end, which is to get to the NFL and take care of your family the rest of your life with generational wealth. And he's out there risking it every week. That's what I love that you brought up again. This dude, that's something that I think should check some boxes for some scouts out there.
No, it does. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, guys. Been here all day. We're here until 7. That's when Mike Conte and Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, and Dave Archer, the analyst for our team, take things over and take you through the first round of the draft. As far as the other dogs are concerned, they're projecting again, and this is all, you know, it could change. 13, 15 guys, when it's all said and done, what are we talking about? There's 13 to 15 guys eligible for the draft. Mike, they might not all get drafted. At the end, some of these guys may be undrafted free agents that end up with particular teams. But the thing about Michael, and I will say this, and this is the part that Garrett has been arguing today, and, you know, listen, we've been going back and forth on all these guys. His size matters.
He's bigger than Green. He's bigger than Ezeraku. He's a big – him and Pierce are the big defense. The prototypical – you want, isn't that what we want?
Yes.
But here's the thing. That's what we want as fans, because that's what we're conditioned to think you got to have.
No, we need that.
But is it going to translate?
No.
Even though he's got the size now, but is he going to be the guy?
That's
why these guys are paid the big bucks.
Okay, so –
And half of these guys are going to bust out in this first round.
So here's the thing. There's two elements to this, Mike. One is, yes, does he have the size? The other element is, and we saw this a few years ago with – what was the kid we drafted from the Senior Bowl? What was his name?
Rashid Hageman?
He didn't have a dog in him.
No.
He had the size,
right.
But he didn't have the go-get-me, go-get-it attitude, the effort. I ain't worried about that with Michael.
No.
I'm not worried about that with him. So the element of size is great. There's a lot of big dudes in the NFL. I've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of big guys that played. They don't play long, but they get to the league and then they fall off. The guys that are effort-based last, this is one of those dudes. I am not concerned about that. When we talk about the size, I'm just simply saying, guys, when you talk to people around the NFL, they tell you, hey, the Falcons are smallish. We've been smaller on the defensive line over the last few years. That really started, Mike, with Dan Quinn. He wanted smaller, quicker guys up front, gap guys that could get to, you know, that was all that stuff. You got to have some run stop in you and be able to get push up the middle. We haven't really had those guys, so that's why I like Michael as well.
6'5", 265. I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's – especially for a 3-4. You know, you think about, like – and again, I know it's base 3-4, and nickel, you know, blah, blah,
4-3.
But, I mean, it's 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies, as Bill Raftery would say. But, I mean, you think of, like, Richard Grant or Stroud and Seymour, those guys played at Georgia, the kind of athleticism. So, Michael Williams, according to the NFL mock data draft base, or whatever they call this thing, his average depth position right now is 14th overall in the draft. We're picking at 15. So, that's where we should pick him. Because I've heard some guys go, well, he's not worth it at 15.
No,
baloney,
no,
man.
No. His value is there.
Come on.
Yeah. You're not overreaching.
No.
And you're going to pay more for a guy that you should have taken or waited to take. That's a right about that. See, that's what we're talking about, Mike.
Like, you can't trade down for him. That's the thing. You guys want to trade down. You can't do that.
No. But 11 to like 17 or 18, like in that range, all these guys that might be there, That's the range. You can't say that a guy's value is less because you're going to take him at 15, and that's where he's projected to be. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also talked to DJ Shockley. You'll hear his conversation with us coming up at 6 o'clock, and I asked him about Malachi Starks. We really haven't talked a lot about Starks because we don't think we're going to draft a safety. But his value is interesting, too, because I think he's going to be a big-time contributor.
Right.
On any team that ultimately picks him because of what he's able to do. So he can do all the things.
But, you know, when you talk about everyone expecting D-tackle or edge rush, I mean, we could still draft Malachi Starks.
I don't think we are.
I mean, you could. I mean, you could, technically. You know, we did the we kicked the tires, you know, on Justin Simmons last year. That didn't pan out. Hellams, if we got some other guys on the depth chart. But I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. I mean, you know, potentially. If you're looking for – if somebody called a Fontenot curveball. But, I mean, that – see, some of these things – the only reason we might not do some of the things you guys all expect is all of these edge rushers go, and there isn't this run on offensive tackles that we've heard, and everybody just jumps in on that, and there's not a bunch of guys coming up to get quarterbacks. Everybody feels they can get their quarterback between, you know, 20 and 32. And in that case, we'll have no leverage to really go anywhere.
All I will say is, you're right. That's the unpredictability of the draft. Malachi Starks is a top 20 pick in this draft. Top 20, okay? It's not a bad pick. It would just be, to Mike's point, everything that we think is going to play out has gone left, and all of a sudden now maybe he's the top guy at his position on the board, and you go, all right, is he a game changer? He's versatile as hell, man. I mean, like, I don't want to say he's Jesse Bates because Jesse is an all-pro, you know, type safety, but he's got those capabilities. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, hit us up. Let us know what you think as we specifically just spent some time on the dogs and guys that are going to go here in the first round.
And we mentioned that if Jalen Walker should fall to us, in most mock drafts, he's gone. A lot of mock drafts, he's in the division. Carolina jumps on it.
Before us.
Yeah, there's a couple, or even the Saints, if he does fall to them. And again, I just can't. Who knows what the Saints are going to do, by the way. Curious to see if we're going to see that quarterback thing you and I were talking about. But if you, by the way, are interested in moving back into the second round, do you think there's a sense of urgency to get back in?
I do.
To find a corner or to find a tackle, so it's edge and so it's two lines. It's both for the D-line.
D-line. That's what I think. I think there is an urgency, and I think it's D-line. I do not think it's corner. I think it's going to be D-line. Speaking of our general manager, while we're talking about the dogs and more breakdowns from guys we've spoken to all week long, Terry Fontenot, Mike, talking about red flags. You concerned with any red flags of any of the guys we've talked about?
No, just health. The health stuff that we've talked about for a couple of those guys. I mean, you've got between, you know, the Michael Williams, who some guys are saying there's nothing to see here when it comes to that. Jahad Campbell, apparently. Some guys are saying that is a red flag now, despite what his camp put out there, that he'll be ready for NFL camp.
Yeah, he is. And I say slipping. He's still a first-round guy, but does he go top 10? Or does he now go 25?
How come Will Johnson's on everybody's, you know, he's like the second best corner, and yet no one's seen this guy run in like 3 months?
Yeah. Well, those two guys specifically, I started the show today telling you, I feel like they're slipping in this draft. We'll see how far. Here's Terry Fontenot talking about red flags.
And they go through that. And then, again, I'm not going to get into all the specifics of how we go about gathering information, but then you have background checks. There's a lot of layers to that as we determine it, and there are going to be some players, it's much like the medical. Right. When you go through the medical process, you get all the information, you get the doctors involved, and there's going to be some players that have a medical alert that, hey, this is something we have to talk about. And some players that fail physicals, and that's, you hate that. You never want that to happen. It's sad when you go through it that, hey, this player is, it's when you get that list sometime after the combine, you have that medical meeting, and you see some players that you actually can't draft because of the medical. It's the same process with the character. You go through it. There's character flags that we discuss, and there's players that we wouldn't bring in the building because of those things. But it's a very detailed, thorough process. We take it serious.
I mean, so far there's no 11th hour surprises. I'm not sure we're going to get a Laramie Tunsil gas mask tonight. Although that was, I mean, not good for him, but entertaining as hell that night on TV. The only guy that I'm interested in that has a red flag, but this is a red flag in the eye of the beholder, is Mike Green. And no one even knows what the heck he was in trouble with at UVA that let him mutually decide to part ways. He's never been charged with anything. Micah Parsons, you know, there was a lot of unseemly stuff going on at Penn State. And Micah Parsons was linked to some of that, and that never showed up as far as anything where I've seen of a civil suit or any kind of criminal charges. So, you know, guys want to get all high and mighty on that. That Falcon filter crap, I thought that stuff is over. You know, I mean, if a guy is a badass defender, let's go get him.
Let's go get him. I'm with you. All right, coming up, guys, more analysts and breakdowns on the NFL draft. You will get a chance to hear what Mark Ross had to say on the morning show as he gives a breakdown. Also coming up, our buddy Charles Davis, DJ Shockley, Steve Weiss. Stay there. We got you covered, man. We're talking about what's going to go down the first round of the NFL draft live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at Stukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming up, Guy Talks on the way. We're down here chilling at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we get ready for the Falcons member draft party.
I wish we had a couch in studio.
It's nice, isn't it?
I'm kicking back right now.
It's nice.
My wingspan is not that of an NFL edge rusher. I think my wingspan is about 41 inches. But anyway, we're hanging out a yardstick. And I don't know. But no, we're just a very relaxing environment here in the MyBox Suites.
No, man, it's great. The only thing we're missing is cocktail.
Yes.
Is that too much to ask?
A little. What would you be drinking right now if you could? If you could sip on some.
How early is it?
Depends. Well, it's happy hour in Ireland. Actually, it's dinner time.
I'll have a martini then.
Well, look at you, Mr. Big Shot.
Well, come on, you asked.
Hey, I'll see your martini and raise you an old fashioned.
I'm gonna have a martini. I mean, if we're going right. there, of right. course, guys, that's not happening.
Not
we're just
yet.
Saying, yeah. If it was
once the bar opens,
okay.
We're Garrett, just Garrett's doing a great job producing. Let's see if he can produce us some cocktails around 5 o'clock.
I'm with it, man. Falcon Report's on the way. We will get into what we believe is going to take place today, this evening, with the 15th overall pick. That's where we sit right now. Again, guys, we'll see if there are any moves. Everybody's saying there probably won't be. Less likely to be a lot of movement simply because teams can wait it out without having to trade and give up draft capital. All right, let's hear from one of our other draft experts, guys. Mark Ross stopped by the morning shift. He was on with Mike Johnson. Abe was filling in for Bo, who obviously just had a baby.
Do I need to address my volume?
No, not at all. But the first thing they asked Mark is about pass rusher Mike Green, and they wanted to know what he thought about Green.
Yeah, I like Mike Green. He's my second best edge rusher after Abdul Carter. And the stats, you see the stats and the level he played at. But, you know, it's real. He played his best game against Ohio State. So if there's any doubts, just check out how he played against them. And then he stepped it up at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, he just shows a variety of moves, the spin, the dip. He's got some jolt in his hands, especially in the run game when he takes on tight end. So he would be an ideal pick if he's there for the Falcons.
Mark, as the Falcons continue to weigh their options at 15, and there's no shortage of possibilities for them there, can a great defensive back have the same or bigger impact on a defense as a good pass rusher?
That's pretty ironic. Yesterday, you guys must have watched my shows yesterday because we were talking about the Travis Hunter versus Abdul Carter at the top of the draft for Cleveland and the Giants, but mostly for Cleveland. And, you know, I said, look, in 2007 and 2011 with my two Super Bowls, what does everybody remember? This our pass rush, the Giants pass rush getting after Brady. You don't have to look any further than the Super Bowl last year and what the Eagles did. And they destroyed the Chiefs up front with all those, pass rushers and Josh Sweat going to get paid and Milton Williams going to get paid. And, you know, I've always believed that. And it all starts with wrecking havoc with the pass rush up front and defensive ends and great defensive tackles. And then really the corners and safeties get the benefits of that. And, I mean, you can essentially go through an NFL game and be Pat Surtain, the defensive player of the year, not even know he's playing. But as a dominant edge rusher, you know every time Myles Garrett is coming, T.J. Watts of the world. And so I'm 1,000% will always believe that a dominant pass rusher just has more of an overall impact than a corner.
Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, hanging out with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark, I think in this, we've been wrong about this in the past. You know as well as anybody that we've looked for edge rusher the last couple of years. Terry Fontenot and the Falcons have sort of zigged when everybody thought they would zag. They've gone running back with Bijan. They've gone quarterback with Michael Penix. Let's just assume, though, for a minute, that the Falcons go edge rusher at 15 overall. Give me the guy. And they have needs at all three levels of the defense. They have needs at defensive tackle as well. They have needs at linebacker, at corner, at safety. Give me the guy in the second round, in the middle of the second round, that you think could be a fast-rising prospect on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, possibly the Falcons could take a look at there in the middle of round number two.
Yeah, round two, you're looking at guys like Landon Jackson or Nick Scroton from Texas A&M. You know, Shamar Story gets most of the pub at Texas A&M, but if you watch them, Scroton's really the better player. And then Landon Jackson, he'll be interesting where he falls from Arkansas. You know, a huge guy, you know, 6'7", 280, tough, hard nose. Had his best game against Will Campbell, who's going to be maybe the fourth pick in the draft, where, you know, he really showed a lot of the explosiveness off the edge. And those are sort of the guys you'll be checking out. You know, James Pierce Jr., how teams feel about his off-field. He may even slide, you know, that far. Because of some of the off-field issues that come with him. So he'd be an interesting person to kind of watch and see where he – how much he falls.
You know, you mentioned the quarterbacks, Mark, about being the drama, and there's a lot of talk as the dust has settled on the Shador Sanders jersey being retired at Colorado. There's a lot of conversation about what he is as far as the NFL game. What do you think of Shador Sanders, you know, in transition into the NFL and what he would be in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, even if his name wasn't Shador Sanders and if it was just, you know, Joe Sanders, just overall, I don't think he's a top five, top ten caliber talent quarterback. I think he's more of a system quarterback who needs everything in place around him and to make things work, but really doesn't have the talent to elevate a team or really threaten a defense consistently to compete against the higher-level quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, overall, I think ideally he'd be a bottom of the first, second-round talent, you know, really a second-round talent in my view, and not somebody who say Shador Sanders is going to come in here and change our franchise. So he needs a lot to go right for him and for him to have success in the NFL.
Good conversation from the morning shift. And we did hear Squid Billy, by the way. He's got a lot going on his plate this week.
Yes, he was involved there. Abe was also there. Mike Johnson. Check those guys out, man. That is Mark Ross. He is with NFL Network again, talking about all these guys. And, look, the question is, you know, and we'll dive into this at 5 o'clock. Three quarterbacks taken in the top 10? I don't know about that. I do think Mike Ashton Jeanty is more wanted than people believe. It's funny because a few years ago it was like nobody should draft a running back in the first round. Now all of a sudden everybody's thinking, hey, you absolutely should draft a talented running back, which is kind of how it's always been in the NFL. But, right. You know, you have these trends, right? And when the trends happen, teams move away from things that teams have done. If you go back, guys, to the 90s, early 2000s, running backs consistently were top picks in the NFL.
Right. You had to have it.
And then, you know, it went away from that. So either way, but Jeanty's very talented. But we'll dive into that a little bit more in the 5 o'clock hour. But that's interesting stuff from Mark Ross. Again, everybody's wondering, and it's the big mystery tonight.
Right.
Where Shador Sanders lands.
Yep, and I was going to save it for Guy Talk, but I can throw it at you right now. I was just reading from the LA Times that right now the Vegas money line, it's about minus 115. So it's come down from minus 160. In other words, bet 160 to 100, that it was going to be the over of 2.5. So 2.5 is a flat bet right now in Las Vegas. It's coming down near even money. So some folks are feeling maybe just two quarterbacks go. And a lot of that means, you know, that crazy theory that Shador Sanders falls out all the way out of the first round. We spoke to, and you're going to hear the interview coming up.
Yes.
From Fox Sports, now CBS, Charles Davis.
Charles Davis.
And Charles Davis, by the way. And Charles Davis, he had us taking the a DT from Oregon. We'll tell you more about that coming up because that was one that's kind of off out of left field for some of our listeners. But you look at it, and he didn't have any trades in his draft. So he said, I'm just going to, for whatever reason, Shador Sanders wasn't in the top 32. You believe Jackson Dart's going to go tonight?
Yeah, I have three going in the first round.
Okay.
I do think three are going to – not in the top 10, not three in the top 15 or six in the top 15 like last year, but three total when the round is done, and we're talking about three quarterbacks. Listen, the Jackson Dart thing is real. I don't know if the Jalen Milroe thing is real.
Now, a lot of folks have said, amongst other teams, initially there was some juice for the Steelers about a month and a half ago, is the idea, we were talking about this earlier with Garrett Chapman, who's producing today for Day Day, is the Rams. And give Sean McVay and his guys a little chance to go to work on Jalen Milroe and tighten up some of the things which need correcting in the throwing, a little more accurate, and he gets to sit behind Matthew Stafford for a year maybe. You know, and that maybe that's it, and he takes over. And you and I were just full disclosure, and this isn't a dig on our current regime with the Falcons. He's just talking about guys around the league that are just doing it at another level that we're just not at yet because it hasn't reflected on the field or the one-loss record, so it's factual. But, I mean, despite maybe a half a reset for the 49ers, I think John Lynch and Shanahan is a hell of a combination. But Les Snead, who was here under Dimitroff in Atlanta, and Sean McVay, to me, that's the guys that are working like on the chess while everyone else is playing checkers level.
Yeah, look.
Whether it's the F the picks or they can still do it the organic way, doing it through the draft, through free agents and trades, they find a way.
There are trustworthy front offices off the top. Ravens, Chiefs, those two you just mentioned.
Right.
Right. Steelers, you can't have 17 consecutive winning seasons and not say they ain't doing their business. The problem is they've had a hard time replacing Ben Roethlisberger. Everybody, hello Atlanta, has a hard time replacing their franchise quarterback when that guy leaves. But, Mike, those front offices just seemingly do it different, and they always seem to get it right. Green Bay has been there. Listen, Matt Gutekunst, for all the crap that he caught with Aaron Rodgers, right, he's done a hell of a job.
Well, that's what's so funny about
it. They're the youngest team in the NFL, and they're on the come, and they've got their quarterback
set. What's so funny about Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, you think of them as a punchline to a joke with Deshaun Watson, which obviously that was driven from Jimmy Haslam, their owner. And that was obviously a disaster. But think about all the stars that they've drafted, because they've had some really good draft picks. All the really good pieces they've had, like from Myles Garrett, bringing in Chubb. Now, granted, he's gone now with the injury. But they've always had some great pieces, and even they found a way to get to the playoffs. The reason I bring it up, a couple guys hit us up on the text line saying, you guys keep saying we really don't have any options to trade Kirk Cousins. And there were some stories today. Some folks believe that Kirk Cousins will be traded this weekend.
They do.
And it will happen. We talked to Steve Weiss. He doesn't think that's that likely. But Cleveland, could they commit to Flacco, and wouldn't Cousins be an upgrade over Flacco, despite the fact they've got him and Kenny Pickett?
I don't know, man. Flacco took him to the playoffs.
Right, and they missed not having him on the roster last year.
So here's why he wasn't re-signed, by the way. And then we got to get to guy talk. So Flacco leads the Browns to the playoffs. Deshaun's recovering. He comes back. He's healthy. They don't re-sign Flacco because he's so well-liked in the locker room, they had to give Deshaun a chance to come back in and reclaim it.
Oops.
That's what happened last year. So they said, oh, we're not going to bring Flacco back. So then they went, who? Jameis. Mm. Now they brought Flacco back. They love him there, man. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. We will dive into as much as we can that's family-friendly of what's going on with Shannon Sharpe. And more allegations coming out from some workplace stuff that may or may not have happened when he was at Fox Sports 1. And then, yes, we're all excited about the NFL draft, but let's handicap the Pope. I've got some odds picks, Carl. I think we'll get some white smoke. We'll explain. Live from the Maybach, or Maybach suite, depending on how you like to pronounce your luxury Mercedes vehicles. We're just going to Dukes and Bell, man, we're live. We are normally up there. I'm up there at 342, and you're what, 218, right?
Yes.
It's funny because I'm looking literally right up at my seats, and I was just thinking, you know, during the commercial break, will we this year get back in the playoffs after a drought that extends all the way back to 2017? So, you know, because right now, you think about all the teams that have been killing it the last couple of years and everybody around the NFL. When the Falcons pick at 15, most of the fans around the league, aside from the lucky Falcon fans that will be there at Lambeau tonight, will just kind of go shrug because we don't really matter as much around the league. Hopefully that's going to change, won't it? And Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a big part of that.
Well,
along with Bijan and Drake, everybody else.
Yeah, once we start being as explosive as we potentially think we can be, Mike, and we become the highlight films.
Right.
With Penix throwing, you know, 3-4 touchdowns and Bijan. You said the one thing he missed last year, had a great year, were the big explosive runs that Saquon had. When Bijan is breaking teams off for 50, 60-yard touchdowns, Mike, he's going to get a lot more exposure. But everybody around the league knows he's great. I'm with you, man. I feel like, hey, I can't feel any worse than I've felt the last 5 years.
No, but that's why it's funny. We had one curmudgeon who was like, yeah, this whole draft thing, nothing but hype. We talked about that reading some of the texts earlier. But again, as we said, the intersection of their two most favorite sports, college and pro, and this is why you get so fired up because you're thinking this is the year. And again, the odds are long, but this is the year maybe we get a guy who's going to be that superstar we'll be talking about. We'll all be wearing his jersey, and someday we'll all drive up to Canton to watch him get a gold jacket. Right?
No doubt.
All right, man. On that note, real quick, some breaking draft news, unless you don't consider the Saints important, speaking of irrelevant, Carl. But a couple of reports, and Joe Shad has it now. Saints reportedly not expected to select Shedeur Sanders when they select before we do in the top 15. The Steelers ownership reportedly could be asked to sign off on Sanders at 21. So Joe Shad and his people at least hearing that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall all the way to where Mike Tomlin and the Steelers can tell Aaron Rodgers to pound sand, and we'll bring in the Shedeur Sanders show.
Five teams need quarterbacks. I've said this to you. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to the Steelers tonight. Okay? Five teams need quarterbacks. The top three: Titans, right? Giants, we don't think they're going quarterback. We don't. Right? And then you look at the Browns. Browns and Giants. The other two, ironically, are Steelers at 21. They don't know what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Right. And probably fed up with it at this point, too.
And they really like Shedeur. And then at 23, the Rams. We talked about it. Garrett's producing today. You got a guy in Stafford who's great. They've got a great young team. But, Mike, you only got a couple of years left with him, maybe right. One.
If he stays healthy, two, but right, likely one.
And I don't know if Sean McVay does it at 23, but that's the five teams you go in the first round. How do these quarterbacks shake out? 26 right. for the Rams.
Some feel that they've got to replace Cooper.
Sure?
Yeah, they moved down from
23.
Yeah, they moved down from Cooper Kupp. He's up there with Seattle, but the idea that they go get a wide receiver is also there.
Yes.
But some of the elite wide receivers could be gone. So stay tuned.
Can
on
I
that.
Say this too, real quick?
Yeah.
If Shedeur does land there, perfect. Mm. I'm just telling you.
Right.
As far as the culture is concerned, Mike, and he's going to a situation that he can be himself. But the Steelers' culture is such that I think, like, when you talk about where he could go and succeed, I don't know about this year and how good he might be, but, like, that's a perfect place for him.
The guy, is it Tete Roa McMillan,
yeah.
The wide receiver? Everybody's got a high. Yeah. Some say it's Tete. But either way, Tete. See where he goes. Thanks to our man, Commissioner Gordon. Gordon, he found us the walkout music. I always think it's fun when we talk walkout music in the voice of Hawks legendary announcer Bob Rathbun, if that's okay. And Stinger, feel free to jump in if you want to cue the mic.
I'll sit here and watch because I work with Bob.
Okay. And let's basically, so Carl will recuse himself from any awkward moments at the FanDuel Studios or at State Farm Arena. Jalen Milroe, he's going to go with walkthrough from Rich Home Kwame.
That's Rich.
Turn up your mic, Stinger,
that's
you
twit. That's Rich Homie Kwan, and I love that song at the Blue Flame, Blob.
That's not how I read it. Rich Kwame Home, I say. We got Cam Ward's going to come out to freestyle from Rod Wave.
All the rave is Rod Wave, Bob.
Jamar Stewart, some say he's sluggish from Texas A&M. He's going to rock out to Drake's Forever.
Well, Drake's not really popular with the kids anymore since Kendrick's put him on blast, Bob.
That's what I hear. Apparently he's into it. Well, never mind. Can't talk about this on the program. Looks like we're going to see Maxwell Hairston. He's going to rock out to my favorite, Gunna, and him all along.
Well, Gunna's been doing some snitching, Bob, and you know, snitches.
Oh, I don't like snitches. I'll tell you what, I'd murder a snitch, put him in the trunk of my Lexus. Is this
Bob
my guy?
Bob with the bars.
Drop him off at Swats and get the heck out of Dodge. All right, last one real quick, moving on, as Carl is very awkward right now. Will Campbell, right above it from Lil Wayne, Jahad Campbell, he likes free promo from Lil Baby.
Lil Baby's hot in these streets, Bob. Definitely a banger.
Hey, by the way, Gunna getting some love. Will Johnson's going to toast up before he daps up with the commish.
That's right, Bob. Love the music.
Only 16 players, by the way, going to be there. So what if you had a draft and nobody showed up? With your music report, I'm Bob Rathbun. All right, Carl, you can get back in the conversation here. Speaking of awkward moments, Shannon Sharp.
Out in these streets.
Yeah, out in these streets. Shannon Sharp's situation. I mean, man, more and more stuff starts to come out. And as we always say on Dukes and Bell, we never rush to judgment. And we do know that the burden of proof is a little bit lower in civil actions. We certainly know that. But Shannon Sharp, now more information coming out. Apparently there was some Fox Sports described it as just simple horseplay in the studio. Apparently the person who sued felt it was a little bit different. From the news site Glassbreak, a previously unreported physical incident involving Shannon Sharp and a production assistant at Fox Sports 1 was settled for several $100,000, it's alleged.
Mike, I've been in this media game for a long time. I've never been in a studio where a female cohort has said, put your hands around my neck and choke me. We're just having fun.
Right.
I'm just saying. Like, I've never experienced that. You know what? Just put your hands on my shoulder. I really like it when you put your hands around my neck and just squeeze a little bit harder. Right. I've never experienced that.
Now more information from multiple websites being reported that, according to those close to Shannon, with friends like this, who needs enemies, that Shannon is into, for kids in the car, let's say tickle fights that get really aggressive. And maybe wear a dog collar while you're doing it. Think of the opening scene to Billions when Paul Giamatti got walked on in a stiletto heel. I mean, hey, man, different strokes for different folks. And what goes on behind closed doors between consenting adults.
Was he paying for this, right?
Well, I mean, should have paid for, an NDA.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be indulging in that sort of behavior and you're a high-profile person, it can always boomerang on you, man.
Mm. Well, I mean, so the news, though, is what? He stepped away from ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN, the word came out today. That and Shannon, this is where it gets weird. Oren's going to jump in. He's back at the ranch in Midtown today. So Shannon releases a statement saying that after consideration, he's going to step away. And Oren, a lot of folks, and you picked this up too, apparently said he just cut and paste something that somebody else wrote for him?
Yeah, when you have an iPhone, usually when you are the one sending the text messages, it's blue. And when you receive one, it's gray. So Shannon posted a screenshot of basically a gray text message, meaning that someone sent him that, and he just copy and pasted something that somebody sent him that they wrote a statement for him, and that's the statement he used. So he didn't even bother to, like, cut and paste it himself, put it in the notes app, type it up. He just screenshotted the text that someone sent him, presumably his lawyer or a PR firm.
Sure.
And, yeah, that's what he used as a statement. Like, that's kind of lazy there, Shannon, yes.
Mm. Yeah, man. Look, to Mike's point, I we can talk about this story all day. We don't know all the details. My street spidey sense tells me, you know, that this was a situation, Mike, that obviously, you know, she was planning for a while. And you know, we always talk about these gotcha moments. I said this yesterday. And she was planning up to the point where, you know, she felt like she had enough to run with it. But to be involved in this for 2 years, it didn't bother you the first week?
Right.
It didn't bother you the first 2 months of whatever was going on? Like, I just always find that suspicious. But, again, I don't know what happened or how this is going to play out.
So, Carl, what happened was, remember a couple months ago or however about it was when that very curious Instagram Live video of Shannon came out?
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the woman in question was not happy about that, and that's what's led to a lot of this disagreement right now.
Oh, so that was another woman.
Yes.
That was a different woman.
Gotcha. Different woman.
Gotcha.
So stay tuned.
I do remember that, Mike, because we were like, how does that? How do you get on Instagram Instagram Live like that?
It's a developing story. Hey, man, I've never been a fan of Mike Greenberg. There's a lot of guys I loved on ESPN over the years. They don't work there anymore. But Mike Greenberg, I've always felt a tad snarky. Mike Greenberg posted today, him and Booger are getting breakfast somewhere in Green Bay, and he writes, "Breakfast in Green Bay. I asked if they could make an almond milk latte. Booger hasn't stopped laughing." And immediately a lot of folks felt, well, here you are, East Coaster, coming into the Midwest, into the heartland, and being pretentious, and these poor boobs out here in Green Bay can't whip up a almond milk latte, which, by the way, is a very pretentious order. I think a man's coffee, like his drink order, should never take more than five syllables. But anyway, I digress. But as far as Mike Greenberg and being in Green Bay, a lot of folks are giving him a lot of heat because here now becomes the endless amount of tweets from national media basically saying, look at all these, you know, hayseeds out here in a small town, Green Bay.
So I'll tell you one story that I know, and this is not, you know, saying anything bad about necessarily Greeny, just how he is. So when he was with Mike and Mike and they were touring the country, and I was working for ESPN at the time, they would do these tours and they'd come in, Mike, and, they would rent out an auditorium or whatever, and they'd have their fans come and, you know, they'd be there. And Greeny was a guy, to your point about how pretentious and things of that nature, he would always want a separate bathroom, regardless of the situation or circumstance.
Okay.
You and I, or G or Garrett, couldn't go into the restroom and use it where he was going to use the restroom. So there were situations where he would have his own restroom. And it kind of was one of those things where you go, that can't be true. Found out it was. Mm. And if you want to talk about, like, that's the kind of stuff, Mike, behind the scenes. Now, I think Greeny is great. He does a great job on television. He's got all those different roles. But to your point about something like this and then people react to it, That's a story that I know for sure
right.
that happened. And that's, again, years ago when he was touring with Mike and Mike, and they were like the big morning show, national morning show. But that's the weirdness. Like, I'm not going to use that restroom. Well, why not? Because everybody else is. I need my own spot.
It's like when we hear stuff, and this does exist in our business. You don't make direct eye contact with someone. It's like, you got to be kidding me, man. Hey, man. All right. From the NFL draft, we already found that the even money now, it's creeping towards even money bet. We're going to have more than two quarterbacks drafted in the first round. The money line has dropped from minus 160 to now minus 115. So basically bet 115 to 100. More importantly, Carl, we haven't picked a Pope yet.
No.
Obviously, our Jesuit Pope is gone to the big hereafter. Yeah. So normally after you go with a guy who's a little bit left of center, they go right of center. So real quick, I know you've been asking for it, Carl, so I'll give you odds on the Pope.
Please do.
I'm going to go. I think it's time. He's a long shot, but you and I love long shots in Vegas. 25 to 1, Cardinal Robert Sarah from Guinea in West Africa. Time for a black Pope.
It is. Glad you said it. No, no doubt. He's what are the odds?
25 to 1.
Okay.
Because he'll never get picked. But anyway, I do still like the odds. Throw it out there in case you're a betting man. I've got a guy for you, Carl. I think it's going to be Pietro Parolin, the Vatican's 70-year-old Secretary of State. I've got him at 2 to 1, even money.
How old is he?
He's 70, so he's not going to last very long. No. But, you know, it may help get 10 years out of him, and he's rather conservative. They generally go one, you know, from one extreme to the next. And anybody who's been beat by Jesuits, you know, they're a little cuckoo, so it's got to go the other way. Anyway, there you go. Now you're up to speed on everything in the world of sports and the papacy. Wait for that white smoke out of Vatican City.
How long does it take, seriously?
The movie, it's funny because I watched that movie on a flight. Conclave. When I first started, like, it's like Moneyball. They're making a movie about baseball and the draft. They can make a movie about picking a Pope. It's really well done. And Ralph Fiennes, like everything else he's in, is great in that movie. It's a good piece.
I agree with you on that.
Hey, man, we're live at Mercedes-Benz, by the way. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock today with draft coverage, and we will be talking more about the Falcons. But that was Guy Talk for guys that are new to the show tuning in today for the first time.
Yeah, man.
Give us a little outside sports.
Well, yeah, because we have fun on this show. I mean, today is an unusual day because we're sticking our guns to one topic, and that is the draft, and rightfully so because the NFL's king. We're coming back. We're going to tell you what we know about tonight's draft. Falcon fans, how much trust do you have in this front office? We're going to get into that as well. We're live at Mercedes-Benz.